You are listening to Dr. Susanna Dodgson read the novel When Fire Jumps, which is copyright 1998 by CSDL McMorty. Chapter 3. The Bruce Family House, Sydney, Australia, January, Saturday, early morning. As Lucia slid the emu egg into the refrigerator, the side door from the garage opened. Striding into the kitchen was Dr. Philip Bruce, husband of Elizabeth, father of Eve, Vet, and Lucia, father-in-law of Frank, physician to women and deliverer of babies. His face reddened. "Morning, Luce." He threw his car keys in the imitation ancient Egyptian funerary urn on the marble side table, loosened his tie, passed his hand through his thick, curly yellow hair, and grabbed the coffee pot. "G'day, Pater Magnus, delivering more babies." Lucia twirled around, slamming the refrigerator door. Phil put the coffee pot in the sink and turned around to bear hug Lucia. He inspected Lucia's lightly freckled face, looking up at his. Plucking hay from her thick, curly chestnut hair with his free hand. His voice and humor returned. "Enough to populate a village, Luce. You'd think they'd have the decency to wait a week or two so your mother and I could watch Australia wallop England in cricket. I wanted to work on the Bugatti, too. Too bad." "Pater, I'd listen to the cricket for you, but I'm going away. Today. Camp Kangaroo. Saturday. I'll be back. I'll fix the Bugatti. Piece of cake. Here's the coffee for you." Phil crossed the room and dropped the hay into the food waste basket. "No, it's okay. I really mean no. Do not touch the Bugatti. For heaven's sake, oh no, please don't." Phil turned back towards Lucia, holding out his arms. "A dress? Gosh, I am so delighted to see you wearing a dress in the morning. I mean, wearing anything. You okay? Magnus, am I? Still learning Latin from the electronic telegraph?" Lucia leaned down to fill her hands with dry cat food from a low cupboard. "You know I only wear dresses. I usually wear something when I have clean clothes. Well, mostly. Eve made it for me." "Are you for real? Okay. Me? No worries, Pater Maximus. Latin rock. Helps me understand Aida. The earth's sick, but river's low and grass is all sunburned. Rain, Pater of all Paters. We need rain." Trailing cat food, she climbed onto a stool next to the sink, where she sat watching Phil carefully measure 4 scoops of coffee into the percolator. Tutankhaten ran through the veranda door, jumped onto Lucia's lap, and attacked the cat food in her hands. Phil assembled the percolator and plugged it in next to the microwave. "I see," he faced Lucia, his forefinger on his lower lip. "And I must tell you, O lighter than light, I have never seen such an enormous egg, bigger than you were when you were born." Lucia looked back at him with a gaze that had outstared cows. "All yours. I reckon it weighs close to a kilogram. About time Ditch laid another egg. More than 4 weeks since the last one. The drought." Phil's gaze broke Lucia blinked. She glanced through the window over the sink at the weeping willows lining the river banks next to the neighbor's stone wall. I'm going to Camp Kangaroo today for a week, Pater. In the Blue Mountains, Katoomba, close to the Three Sisters. Tutankhaten took the remaining food from Lucia's hand, poked its pink nose through towards Lucia's face, and squeaked. Lucia nodded at it. Tutankhaten, it's okay. The Blue Mountains are on fire, huh? Philip looked thoughtfully at Tutankhaten on Lucia's lap. He turned around to open the refrigerator and turned back holding three large hen's eggs and a jug of milk. Did this milk come from the milkman? Not likely, Tata. Lucia raised Tutankhaten in the air so its green eyes stared directly into her own green eyes. At Christmas, Springwood burned down completely, but Katoomba was okay. No fires in the mountains now. Milk? Might have. On the lambs weaned from Lamb of God. Lamb of God's dried up. Didge doesn't make milk. Birds just don't. Possums don't make much, although, You neutered the cats. Toot was male, anyway. Tutankhaten jumped onto the floor and hissed at Phil. Phil hissed back. Lucia grunted, reached up, and pulled the electric egg boiler from the cupboard over the bench. Here, for the midget eggs. Thanks, Phil filled the egg boiler and turned it on. I'm not so sure about Katoomba. The whole of New South Wales is as dry as a nullarbor, desert emus. Well, anything could go up in flames. I don't know that I like you going there. Phil poured a little milk onto the spoon, sniffed and swallowed it, his eyebrows raised towards the crown molding. Yep, cow milk. The gods are smiling on me. Luce, stay away from the possums, okay? Lucia bent towards the floor and lifted Tutankhaten, stretching the cat from her shoulder to her waist. She nuzzled its white furry face with her nose. Crikey, Tata. Even Frank are in charge. Vet's a counselor. Geez, you need caring for more than I. Me. Tutankhaten and Lucia faced Phil and looked him up and down. Well, good, Luce. Phil rattled around the crockery in the cupboard until he found a plate that matched his cup and saucer. You don't sleep. You don't bike or swim or sail with us anymore. Cripes, you eat fats and salt and double cripes. You eat animals that have been murdered. Lucia draped Tutankhaten around her neck and slipped off the stool. She opened the fridge and extracted an apple. Tutankhaten licked its lips. Killed, Luce. Killed. Anyway, once they're dead, they like being eaten. Phil watched Lucia bite into her apple. Tutankhaten took a thoughtful note of its paw and licked it. Lucia swallowed and waved her apple at her father. Didge and On the Lamb of God are watching you. Carter, you're eating their relatives. I don't know, their relatives, my relatives. Phil shook his head, chuckling. I imagine that white cat has eaten the odd thing with a heartbeat. Tutankhaten's head looked up from its paw at Phil. Lucia waved her apple at her father. Must change the straw inside Didge's cage. Pronto! Vale, Pater Meus. Lucia skipped through the door onto the veranda, whistling the aria from the final duet of the entombed alive lovers, Radames and Aida, from Verdi's opera, Aida. She threw her apple core at Didge, pecking at the ground under the jacaranda tree, walked down the back steps, and disappeared. She reappeared with an armful of straw, Tutankhaten still draped around her neck. She staggered down the hill into the emu cage, whistling ecstatically. Phil listened to his youngest daughter whistle. as he washed his hands and sponged her marks off his very expensive lightweight woolen trousers and his shiny leather Oxfords. Lucia was still whistling when Phil walked into the scullery for a mop and removed the dirt she had left all over the black and white marble tiles on the kitchen and veranda. While he replaced the mop, Phil asked himself, objectively, why his delight in his youngest daughter had been chased by cold, sweated fear. You have been listening to Dr. Susanna J. Dodgson read the first three chapters of When Fire Jumps, a novel, copyright 1998, by C.S. D.L. McMurtry.